Thank you, praise team. You know, just want to announce that before we get into our sermon here, congratulations to James and Rachel Homan, who welcomed in Madeline Elizabeth Homan this past Tuesday. And from the last time I was talking to James, that all are doing well, and so we congratulate them on the birth of their daughter, their first daughter. I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer, so let's pray. God, we come before you this morning, and we thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, we thank you that you are the risen Lord, and that you are a God who is all-powerful and sovereign in all things. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for just the coming and the birth of little Madeline, and we do pray that you'd be with James and Rachel as they are caring for her, and Lord, that you would be causing her just to grow and to flourish. Lord, I do thank you for just this time to be into your word. And Lord, I do pray that the Holy Spirit would be present. He always is. But Lord, that in a way that allows us to understand and to take to heart just the truths of your word. So Lord, may your message and may your word just be clear this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are beginning a new sermon series for the next 6 weeks called Thrive. And a basic definition of thrive is to grow and to flourish. And so I remember when each of my sons were born, and we would take them into the doctor, and each time the doctor would do a lot of checkups and examine the boys, and they really were just checking to see if the boys were growing. If they were thriving, they would check if they were getting stronger. They would do certain tests about percentiles and how big is their head and how much they weigh and how tall are they. And I do have a picture of one of my sons who is just so happily thriving when he was like 3 or 4 months old. I won't tell you which one it is, but it's so happy and flourishing and thriving. But if you go to the doctor and they see that your child isn't thriving or isn't growing, then for sure that they'll have things to advise you in. They'll have some treatments to recommend. And because thriving is important. Thriving is very important that we need to grow. We should all be flourishing. And it's not just physical thriving that it's important, but we're going to see that spiritual thriving is vital. Not just individually, but we need to be thriving as a people. We need to be thriving as a church. We are made to grow. And healthy things are made to grow. And there is such a rich and deep blessing in a growing and flourishing and thriving relationship with the Lord in this spiritual life that is thriving. You know, one song that was popular a few years ago, and they still play it on radio stations today. It's a song called Thrive, right? And the lyrics go, we were made for so much more than ordinary lives. It's time for us to more than just survive, that we were made to thrive. And the next line is a bunch of woes. But we were made to so much more than just survive, that we were made to thrive. So as we head into this series on thriving, you know, I understand that for many, you might not exactly feel like you're thriving in life right now. You might not feel like you're flourishing. You might not feel a continuous growth in your spiritual life. Maybe it's really more of a day-to-day struggle. You do feel like you're just surviving sometimes, maybe just trying to get through the week. Or maybe sometimes just trying to get through the day, that you don't feel like you're thriving. You don't feel like you're flourishing, just more in this survival mode. You know, personally, this particular season in life for me, I feel like one of the busier seasons in life. As I mentioned, I have 3 sons, and each of them are at different schools. They each have different activities, different sports teams, different practices, different schedules, and none of them drive yet, so that means that I joke around with them that my job is Ubering them around town. But it's busy. It's busy. And many times I feel like I am personally just in this survival mode. How many of you would say today that you're thriving, or perhaps you feel like you're in this survival mode? Maybe not thriving, not flourishing. You know, maybe you don't feel like, for some of you, you don't feel like you're thriving maybe in your career. You know, that's something that is just not fulfilling anymore. Maybe for some, you don't feel like your home life is thriving or flourishing. You know, that maybe you thought that your relationship with your spouse would be different or better. You know, maybe for others, you had dreams of having a certain kind of relationship with your kids. And maybe it's just not there. Or maybe you've had dreams of having a certain kind of relationship or a closeness with your adult children. And you don't feel like you're thriving or flourishing in this area. How are you feeling? How are you feeling right now? Is there anything that you think is missing? Anything that you'd want to change, or anything that you'd want to add? You don't feel like you're thriving in this season in life. Whether it comes to, if it's career, or finances, relationships, family. And I think, whether you realize it or not, that you do have an answer to these questions. This question of, is there something missing? Is there something that you'd want to change? That you do have an answer to it, and you probably have a plan on how to answer that certain question. And my hope through this next series is that you'll hear the word of God. That you'll hear the word of God and what he has to say about life, about thriving. That you'll see in this series, prayerfully, Jesus' way of calling you to something deeper. Maybe you'll engage life a little bit differently. And that you would let Jesus show you how to truly thrive in life. So our main question this morning that we're going to tackle and look at is, how do we thrive in life? Through his word, the Lord is going to show us how to thrive, and he's going to give us two keys to thriving this morning. One key is what not to do, and the other key we're going to see is what to do. So one do not do, and one do. So please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 1. If you're not there yet, Psalm 1, we're going to look at verses 1 to 2. Psalm 1, verse 1 to 2. Verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. We'll stop right there. So before we look at these two keys, I want to just quickly address this familiar word that we see throughout Scripture, and we're kind of hit with it right at the beginning of this psalm. It's the word blessed. One scholar from Southern, he says, he teaches that blessed is defined in various ways throughout Scripture. And one way is used to describe divine favor. There's divine favor. Another way the term blessed is used is to describe human flourishing and thriving. It describes this joy and happiness in living a flourishing and thriving God-directed life. So in our passage, the term blessed is not used as divine favor, but is used in the second way, as describing a joy-filled, flourishing, thriving life. So the first key, then, to a thriving life, the first don't, is don't be influenced by the world. Very simple, right? Very simple. Don't be influenced by the world, but to be countercultural. The psalmist, he introduces two ways of living. And one way is going to be living according to kingdom values, and the other way is going to be living according to worldly values. And in our passage, the worldly way of living is described as walking in the counsel of the wicked. And the psalmist in this passage, he's instructing us to be countercultural, stating that a blessed and thriving life is one that is countercultural, not influenced by the ways of the world, not walking in the ways of the wicked, but walking in and pursuing kingdom values. So what are there any worldly values that you might be walking in? And if we're honest with ourselves, yeah, there's probably a ton of worldly values that we are walking in. What are some worldly values that you might be walking in, and perhaps you don't even know that you're walking in them? You know, what are some ways that the world thinks that you might think as well without actually knowing that you are thinking worldly values? So, for example, do you ever have like this what's in it for me attitude? What's in it for me? It could be very subtle, but it could be very pervasive. For some reason, my mind moves in this direction often, more often than I would like, and perhaps for some of you too, that there is this mentality of what's in it for me? There's often some kind of catch, like if I'll do this, if I benefit somehow. You know, maybe it's in your workplace, or maybe it's in your business, that you're driven by a what's in it for me type of attitude. Like, I won't bend over backwards for another person unless I get something in return. You know, it could be with siblings, for kids in service today. Definitely could be with siblings. I'm not going to give my sister a bite of my ice cream unless she lets me play the Nintendo Switch, right? Well, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? As I was saying, that it is a, like weekends could be fairly busy in my family with activities and sports. Most of the time, Susan and I, we have to kind of go in different directions with the kids and in different activities. And so typically, as the weekend is approaching, Susan, being very selfless and very nice, will usually ask me if I'd rather take Brendan or Tyson or Grant to their games or to their practices. And you know, in my mind, I do some quick calculations. Like, which one's going to take longer? Which one's further? Which one's going to take more time? Right? And kind of this what's in it for me attitude just kind of creeps in. What's best for me? How is it going to benefit me? Very subtle. You know, by nature, we are drawn to live for what we want, for our own desires, for our own comforts, and for our own benefits. It can even be here at church. It can even be here at church. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to serve in that area unless it somehow benefits me. I won't serve in that area unless I'm interested in it. Living counterculturally according to kingdom values would say otherwise. It would say to serve and to love unconditionally. That's a kingdom value. Motivated by sincere love for Christ and others, not motivated by a what's in it for me attitude. And this is just one of the many, many worldly values that might affect us, perhaps without even being fully aware of it. So yet we have to examine what's really going on in our hearts. With every decision, with every pursuit, examine what's going on in your heart to see if you are pursuing kingdom values or worldly values. By nature, we are drawn to live according to a ton of worldly values. You need to make a certain salary to be successful. You need to live in a certain area or have a certain home to be content. You need to have a certain look to be accepted. And when you achieve all these things, then you'll be flourishing and thriving in life. But throughout Scripture, we're called to be countercultural. to not be influenced by the world, to not walk in the ways of the world, but to walk in the ways of kingdom values. So key number two, the second key to thriving is a do. Do be influenced by the word of God. That the more you hear and meditate on God's word, the more you're going to thrive. The more you're going to flourish. Let's look back at our passage. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The one who is blessed, the one who is thriving, the one who is flourishing is the one who delights in God's word. He's the one who meditates day and night, and blessing is far from those who are walking in the counsel of the wicked. So is there anything that you meditate day and night on? Anything? I think for me, I get in this habit sometimes of binge watching some shows. Binge watching shows, if you don't know, is just watching an episode stack right after another and getting through a whole season in maybe a day. Maybe not a day. But I remember the first show that I actually binge watched was 24. I think it could have been a Korean drama that I binge watched, but I'm going to go with 24 because it sounds kind of more cool, right? But for a season, like Jack Bauer just kind of took over my mind, my world. If it was a Korean drama, then Song Jo-pa took over my mind. Some of you guys know who Song Jo-pa is. But sometimes watching till like 2 or 3 in the morning, you know, and I just wonder what would happen if we binge intake the Word of God. Binge intaking the Word of God. And I bet that there would be such a transformational effect on our lives. You know, the truth of the passage is if you want to grow and thrive spiritually, then you need to read, you need to reflect on, you need to mull over, you need to meditate on the Word of God. And pursuing this, pursuing God's values in this, it's going to take some work, and it's going to take some discipline. It's not just coming to church on a Sunday morning. Don't get me wrong, come to church on a Sunday morning, but it takes more than 1 hour on one day of the week. The psalmist says that we need to meditate on his word day and night. And blessed and thriving is the person that does so and delights in it. If you find yourself maybe unhappy or not growing, maybe if you find yourself not thriving spiritually, then can I ask you, or maybe you ask yourself, what are you delighting in? What are you binging on? What is influencing and driving your pursuits? What's really fueling your heart? You know, maybe you're listening to and being influenced by the counsel of the world too much. That tells you otherwise. That tells you that happiness and success is found in maybe life circumstances. That happiness is going to be dependent on where you are in life, based on success, based on relationships, based on status. I remember back in the day, and I'm going to date myself a little bit, back when these infomercials were kind of first starting to come out, there was this Asian guy on TV. His name was Tom Vu. And he was cruising around on yachts. He was driving expensive sports cars. He was surrounded by beautiful women, and I think some of you might remember that phrase that he would say, right? It's just make millions, right? Make millions. And it's sad. it's even more prevalent, I feel now, that we don't have to go around just looking for these influences, because these influences are right in our faces, in every place, at every time, around every corner. We're being influenced by worldly values. So what are you being influenced by? By these worldly values, or do you listen to and meditate on the counsel of the Lord? The counsel of the Lord that tells you that all you need for life and godliness is written in this book. The counsel of the Lord that tells you that in Christ you could be eternally satisfied. The counsel of the Lord that's going to tell you that you can rejoice in your eternity, in your eternal salvation, that the God of heaven, that the God of all creation loves you, that he sent Christ to die for you in place of you, and that when you trust in him, that he declares you righteous and calls you his son and daughter. Do you listen to that kind of counsel? Is that affecting you? Are you delighting in that? Perhaps some of our struggles that we find ourselves in and the stress and anxiety that you might find yourself in, that you might have, is because you're walking in the counsel of the world too much. And that is bringing about stress and anxiety. So the question you might be asking is, well, am I thriving? And if I am, how do I even know if I'm thriving? What does thriving really look like? Can I be thriving in some areas in my life and not in others? All of these are great questions, and we are excited to hopefully tackle some of these questions in this coming series. We're going to be preaching on topics like shame and guilt, coming to this understanding that your acceptance in the Lord and identity as a child of God is not dependent on circumstances. We're going to be talking about exhaustion. Maybe you guys are tired. Maybe you guys feel just burnt out. We're going to be talking about that subject and how to move from that to hopefully move from burnout to zeal. We'll be talking about addiction, consumerism, moving from this to a victory in the Lord and generosity. We're going to be talking about anxiety and fear. You know, just talking with one person before church and just around us in all places, just this anxiety, fear, and depression, a lot of it causing people to harm themselves. It's so prevalent. So we're going to be talking about anxiety and fear and how to thrive through this, even through that kind of struggle. So we're looking forward to this series, and we're praying that the Lord meets you through this series. My hope is that you'll hear in these next 6 weeks what the Word says about thriving, that you'll see this series as Jesus' way of calling you to something different, to engage life a little bit differently, to see Christ more clearly and humbly, that you would let Jesus show you what truly thriving looks like, all to his glory. And we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper in just a few moments. I'm going to have the praise team come up, and we're going to respond to the Lord just in song. And after that, I will instruct. I'll come back up and instruct us in the Lord's Supper, but just take this time to examine your life and to examine just some of the things that you're going through, maybe the ways that you aren't pursuing kingdom values, to maybe use it as a time just to reflect on that, and that I pray that God would instill in you just a deep joy in who you are in Christ. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. And I thank you, Lord, that you are a God who is all-powerful and all-knowing. And Lord, we do come and Our desire, Lord, is to worship you, not just in this time of singing, but to worship you with our entire lives, in all facets of life. So, Lord, help us to seek after and to pursue godly things, Lord, and give us strength and grace in those things that we struggle with. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.